as I said at the beginning, we're going to continue with prayer, and we're going to continue for a few weeks. This is the first, I think there's going to be a few more about specific prayers that we find in the Bible, and this is the first one on that. So I'm going to talk specifically about the Magnificat, which Linda read so beautifully for us earlier. When we were sort of discussing this as a series about prayer, we talked about some of the prayers that we see in the Bible, and obviously I think it's quite important that we look at some specific biblical prayers. And I really was looking forward to doing this, and I really wanted to speak about it because I think it's such a beautiful prayer. Just hearing the songs that we've done this morning, which sort of echo it, it's filled with such beautiful imagery, and you get this amazing sense from it of the joy felt by Mary as she says the prayer. We started the reading from verse 46, and Mary is replying to something. So to steal Steve's little trick, we're going to go back a bit and put this response into some context, because it's the context of the prayer that gives it its power and beauty. It's also by knowing that context that we can help, that it can help us and teach us about prayer. So if we go back a few verses, we have the passage detailing the Annunciation, which normally we talk about at Christmas. And actually, the Annunciation was probably in about March, if we assume that it's the 25th of December. So, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town called Galilee in Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever and ever, and his kingdom there will be no end." So, quite a dramatic event preceding what we've just spoken about. Mary's life has just been turned completely upside down. She's probably around 15 years old. She's not yet married, and suddenly she's pregnant. At the time, and probably now, this isn't necessarily a great thing. Joseph has almost left her because he thinks it will be a bit easier. No doubt the gossips in the village are out in force. "Yes, an angel came to me and told me that I'll be pregnant." Yeah, right, nice one. So she heads off from Nazareth to a village called Ein Kerem, I'm probably mispronouncing that, in Judea, which is where her kinswoman Elizabeth lives. And that's about 90 miles away, which doesn't look that much on a map. But if to put it into perspective, that's like walking from Mitchell Dean to Nottingham. See, so next time you go and visit Beth and Reuben, on foot, please. Or even from here to Exeter. And I think when I put in this circle, I think we got Luton as well. I hope that kind of gives you an idea of how far this 15-year-old girl is walking. And probably on her own. Not necessarily the safest thing. Judea is occupied by the Romans. This is quite scary. It's not an easy journey. At this point, I'm pretty sure she could be forgiven for thinking, "Oh my goodness, what have I said yes to?" So after this rather long trek, she arrives at Elizabeth's. And then there are two women here separated by quite considerable age. We know from the story of Elizabeth's and John the Baptist's conception that she's believed to be past childbearing age. So there's probably about sort of 30 years between them at least. And Elizabeth greets Mary saying, "When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed with a loud cry, 'Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me, that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leapt for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord.'" It's quite a greeting. I normally just get a hello when I turn up at Lou and Steve's. There's something amazing, and the baby in the womb leaps for joy. Not just a kick, you know, not just sort of an elbow sticking out. This baby leaps. This baby, unborn, knows the incredible nature of what is going on. And then we get Mary's response. And obviously, Linda read that, and I hope that you could hear sort of the similarities with it, with things like the Psalms, specifically Psalm 113, or even more similar, Hannah's prayer in the book of Samuel. Hannah prayed and said, "My heart exults in the Lord. My strength is exalted in my God. My mouth derides my enemies because I rejoice in my victory. There is no holy one like the Lord, no one besides you. There is no rock like our God. Talk no more so very proudly. Let not arrogance come from your mouth. For the Lord is God, a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. The bows of the mighty are broken, but the feeble gird on strength. Those who were full have hired themselves out for bread, but those who were hungry are fat with spoil. The barren has borne seven, but those who have many children are forlorn. The Lord kills and brings to life. He brings down to Sheol and raises up. The Lord makes poor and makes rich. He brings low. He also exalts. He raises up the poor from the dust. He lifts the needy from the ash heap to make them sit with princes and inherit a seat of honor. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and on them he has set the world. He will guard the feet of his faithful ones, but the wicked shall be cut off in darkness. For not by might does not prevail. The Lord, his adversaries shall be shattered. The Most High will thunder in heaven. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth. He will give strength to his king and exalt the power of his anointed." So, although a little bit longer, the imagery is echoed in what Mary then says. When God called Moses, this 75 or 80 year old man makes up 5 excuses about why he can't do it. Mary, at 15, just says yes. How incredible is that? And she says, then Mary said, "Here I am, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. We can see that Mary knows her scripture. We see how she echoes those Old Testament prayers. She would have been immersed in the Torah and the Talmud as a young Jewish girl. And this manifests itself in her prayer. Her prayer shows her knowledge of God, her relationship with God. It also presents us with another question. If she knew the scriptures, she would have known the prophecies about the Messiah, like we see in Isaiah. Did she know and understand what was in store for her son? Not just the gossip and things that happen when she finds out she's pregnant, but did she understand that this is the Messiah who Isaiah has prophesied will suffer, will be ignored by his people? Did she know or suspect the hardships he would face? Yet even with these hardships, she prays with joy. Mary's prayer is a prayer of gratefulness. It is a prayer of praise to God. It shows up the majesty of God, like using a magnifying glass to make something bigger. She's not making God any bigger, but her joy, her rejoicing in him, shows up his majesty so that more can see it more clearly. Her spirit is rejoicing. Her whole being is praising God. She counts the blessings he has done for her and his people, yet things aren't going right. Just amongst all those tribulations in this pregnancy, Mary recognizes the good that God has done for her. So how can this prayer in particular help us, and what does it teach us about prayer, and how can it help us to pray? It is a great example of worshipping in times of trouble. When we read it, we can almost forget that the trouble that she's going through, the difficulties that she must be experiencing, but she's still praising God. when maybe we can't see the blessings we have amongst the difficulties and hardships, we can look at this and get some help. Prayer, I think sometimes when we have to think of the words ourselves, it can sometimes be quite difficult, especially when perhaps we're struggling. You know, it can be difficult to find the words to call out to God. Duncan alluded to that last week. And although prayer doesn't have to be complicated, sometimes it still feels really difficult. So when we're struggling to find the words, we can look at the Bible and use those prayers because they're universal. Although this is specifically Mary's prayer, there are things in it that are applied to us, like we sang just a few moments ago. And there are many prayers throughout the Bible, the Psalms. There's others in the New Testament as well. I think we're going to look at the Our Father in a few weeks' time. But all of these things, you know, it's there. Just as Mary's knowledge of the Old Testament inspired her prayer, so our knowledge of the Bible can inspire our prayer. So knowing prayers like this can really help us pray. At the carol service, Bill spoke about how the nativity narrative was all about people saying yes. And this is the prayer. This prayer is the result of one of those yeses. The joy with which Mary says this prayer, the joy the unborn John the Baptist feels that causes him to leap in Elizabeth's womb, the greeting from Elizabeth towards Mary, all shows the joy this yes creates. This yes is still a source of blessing and joy today, as Mary says, I will be called blessed by generations to come. We're going to finish in a bit with some communion, but I thought we'd have a bit of time of quiet prayer. So we're going to have the song, Mary, Did You Know? And during which time we'll have some quiet time for some prayer and reflection to think of the blessings that we have, the difficulties we may be experiencing, and then we'll come back for communion.
Heaven's perfect
love, that sleeping child you're holding.
before I'll ask him, I thought it would be good to finish by saying this prayer together before we sing Tell Out My Soul, which again echoes what we hear in the Magnificat. So we all say together, my soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour. For he looked with favour on the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham and to his descendants forever. Amen.